I was walking to the studio, I saw a news release that the Brownsville Revival leaders have reunited over the past Memorial Day weekend in Brownsville, Pensacola, in Florida. And they're celebrating what supposedly was one of the greatest and longest-lasting Pentecostal revivals in history. It was called the Pensacola Outpouring, and the leaders decided to get back together again to remember, refresh, and refire. And I think it's interesting to look back from the perspective of history as well, because there's not a lot to remember. John Kilpatrick, who was the pastor of the Brownsville Assembly of God, said that millions and millions and millions and millions of people would come to faith in Christ as a result of the revival. Stephen Hill, who was the pastor that started, or the evangelist that started the revival there, now has cancer. And supposedly, the revival was to bring healing to millions and millions and millions of people. And Stephen Hill prophesied that the Senate would soon be ablaze with the power of God. And all the while, in the Brownsville Assembly of God, they had people aping the practices of pagan spirituality. One of the most bizarre manifestations I have witnessed in that particular scene was sitting in the sanctuary of the Brownsville Assembly of God and watching in horror as a woman in the choir began to jerk her head spasmodically from side to side. An hour went by, then another. And all the while, the shaking continued unabating as intermittently she bent spasmodically from the waist. There was a church member who saw the look of concern on my face and tried to assure me that this woman was merely under the influence of the Holy Ghost. When I asked if she was certain it was the Holy Ghost, she seemed incredulous. "What else could it be?" she snapped. "We're in church, aren't we?" And then she went on to report that this woman had been shaking wildly in the sanctuary for more than a year and a half. What was once practiced only in the cults is now present in our churches as Christians mimic the practices of pagan spirituality. And what heightens the danger is that Christians do not expect a counterfeit in church. And while virtually the same methods employed in cultic communes can now be experienced in Christian churches, there's a difference. At the altars of Pensacola, the practices were cloaked in Christian terminology and attributed to the Holy Spirit. Pensacola practices such as jerking spasmodically or laughing uncontrollably, falling backward into trance states, were conspicuous by their absence in the ministry of Jesus Christ and the apostles. And Peter, of course, warned believers to be wary of those kind of pagan practices. He told the believers to be clear-minded and self-controlled instead. My concern for the woman who was shaking spasmodically, and lots of others like her, prompted me to plead with Pensacola pastor John Kilpatrick to consider the physical and spiritual consequences. And he acknowledged that the woman I identified in his church shakes like she has palsy, but then defiantly paraded her across his platform as a trophy of the Pensacola outpouring. And he shouted, "If you don't want your head to start shaking," and then said, "Come here, girl. Come down here a minute. Hurry up, girl." And then, speaking of me, he said, "If you don't want your head to do like this, you better lay your mouth off her." course, he also predicted in 90 days I'd be dead. And Stephen Hill, who is now, as I just mentioned, battling cancer, made all kinds of dogmatic declarations from the platform. Congressmen, he said, are weeping under the power of God. Of course, he didn't provide a shred of evidence to support his claim. He proclaimed that congressmen will be changed and the Senate ablaze with the power of the gospel. Well, I suppose as we look back 15 years, this is at best an unrealized fantasy. The problem in all of this, and the reason for bringing it up, because of course they're bringing it up in the news, is that millions are looking on in amazement and dismissing Christianity as little more than a succession of hoaxes. And they're thinking this: if Christians are willing to embrace current mythology, Christians must be just as prone to embracing mythology that's 2,000 years old. When Christian standards have more in common with those of the National Enquirer than the New Testament, it's time to examine ourselves all over again. When selling and sensationalism become more tantalizing than truth, the very foundation of our faith is compromised. Pascal was right. Truth is so obscure in these times and falsehood so established that unless we love the truth, we cannot know it. Again, the revival has come and gone. Now they're celebrating it 15 years later. But the truth of the matter is, revival didn't happen. In fact, for revival to take place in the culture, for the Senate to truly be ablaze with the power of God, reformation has to take place in the church so that revival can take place in the land. Unless we get back to basics, we're not going to see revival. Unless we find the book of the law, like Josiah found the book of the law in the temple, and once again adhere to the words of the law, unless we embrace the glory of the gospel of grace, unless we become ambassadors for Christ rather than secret agents, unless we understand the difference between genuine revival and counterfeit revival, we are resigned to repeat the mistakes of the past. Well, all of that to say that I've written about counterfeit revival so that people can understand the difference between the genuine article and the counterfeit that passes as genuine as people look for God in all the wrong places. The book is still available. It is expanded and updated, and you can get it through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the World Wide Web and order online at equip.org.